Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Our resident GP, Dr. Maura Finn, is in the studio with me today. Special treat to have you here, Maura. Lovely to have you with us.
Thank you so much. It's lovely to be here.
Now, we're discussing a very, very common complaint, headaches and migraines. And we have so many questions to get to. And we will do that in just a minute. But look, most of us will have experienced a headache, right?
Absolutely. From time to time. I mean, it's the most common symptom that people have, really, isn't it? You know, and so often it's innocent, completely innocent. And it could be because you're tired, you're stressed, you're hungover, any number of things.
Dehydrated.
The commonest reason for headaches, all headaches, is hunger, thirst, tiredness. They're the three really big ones. And then hormones, and there's many other kind of things as well. We, you know, so most often they're innocent, like I say, but there can be. The one thing I suppose I'd like to say is that there are signs that we worry about with headaches. So if you get a really sudden headache that you've never experienced before, people often describe it as a thunderclap headache, especially at the back of your head. You should check that out. Mm-hmm. If you have a headache with a high temperature that isn't resolving, that should be investigated. If you have a headache after trauma of some sort, or you've never had headaches before and you start experiencing them, especially if you're older, over 50, it's better to investigate
that. If you start experiencing them regularly.
Exactly. If it's a new thing and you know you don't have an easy explanation for it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, always investigate those. But it's a very common symptom.
In the main, you'll have a headache and it'll be for one of those reasons that you discussed earlier and we all move on and we're fine. It's the recurring things that you want to have checked out, right?
Absolutely. And the ones that are affecting your quality of life, that's the really important thing. You know, if you have a headache that, you know, lasts seconds and you move on, that's fine. But if there's something like migraine in particular that is affecting, like maybe once a month, several times a month, you may actually have to go to bed. And you're either avoiding school or work or daily activities as a result of it. That's affecting your quality of life, and therefore it needs to be addressed. Mm-hmm. So, like anything, if you know, if something,
I always have such sympathy for people who have migraines because they're really disruptive, aren't they?
And absolutely, often quite embarrassed about it as well because you know it's not something visual; you can't see, and they often feel, oh God, you know, they think I'm making a fuss, but they cannot function. You know, they need to be in a dark room usually. They cannot tolerate extra noise or stimuli in any way. And they'll often kind of know this is happening and try to kind of work on, and eventually they just have to give up. So it's a very difficult thing. Mm-hmm. So it's about managing their quality of life so that they can actually continue to function very, very well. That can be difficult. It can take time to get to a point where you actually have a really good handle on it. But it is possible, and there's loads of different treatments out there.
Mm-hmm. So. And is it the case that you have to treat migraine when you have the signs of something beginning rather than when you're in the throes of the headache?
Usually you would say that. So with migraine in particular, what you often have is this aura, which is a kind of an unusual sort of concept, but it's basically like neurological type symptoms that occur before the headache starts. So it could be zigzag lights people will see, an unusual noise, even a smell, or sometimes a numbness. And that could be quite frightening as well. You'll sometimes have people that feel like they're having a stroke because they're having these funny kind of neurological symptoms. And then the headache may come on after that. And even other people might have that kind of sense of change in mood or a tiredness that they know.
And feel it coming.
Exactly. Yeah. So then that's the time to take a treatment if you can. And some of the treatments work very well like that. Some people are very susceptible to them. Some of them don't. Mm-hmm. You know, will be people who will suffer with the headache afterwards for 72 hours. And that's so debilitating. And particularly if it's happening frequently in a kind of a monthly basis. So
do you set any stall, moving back to the normal regular headaches now? Because you hear some people saying if you press on either side of your nose to relieve tension, that can help with the pain. Do you think that works?
Absolutely. Like with a tension headache in particular, tension headaches are literally the muscles of your scalp and your face are tight and tense, like the way you'd have muscles in your neck getting tense. So massage is very good. And they often present with this kind of like band around your head. So it's doing this kind of massage in your temples or massage in here around your nose can be very useful. Sometimes sinus congestion can cause those symptoms as well. So that will be around your nose. So you kind of need to know try and figure out the sequence of your headache. What triggers it? What brings it on? That doesn't always help, but it can help a lot. Mm-hmm. And when people have headaches on a chronic basis, we very frequently tell them to take keep a headache diary. And it sounds like, oh God, yeah, I know when I get them. But actually, a sequence and triggers and the story of a headache or any other symptom is very often how we figure out how to fix it.
Okay, let's get to some of our questions. So this one, I'm a 52-year-old woman. I've had migraines related to menstrual hormones and a few foods, which I manage well with a drug called sumatriptan.
Yeah, sumatriptan, yeah.
But several times a year I get continuous headaches that last up to 6 weeks.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
The medication temporarily reduces the severity but does not make them go away. They seem to start with emotional stress or after activity in which I hold my arms up for long periods of time, such as painting or pruning trees. I've tried many solutions, yoga, meditation, physiotherapy, and many more. I've tried two preventative medications, and I'm not sure what else to try.
Okay. Now, what's interesting there is a crossover between migraine, which we're saying, which is this episodic thing that you might have the aura and a pain that lasts for up to 72 hours, and cluster headaches, where you can have them. They're often not as severe. They're more common in men than women, the cluster headaches, but it's a similar pain and it lasts for days or weeks even. So that may be what's happening with this person. The other thing is, it's really interesting. It's a lady, isn't it?
Yes.
She's saying that when she puts her arms up above her head, so that could be kind of muscular tension related as well. She's tried the normal treatments, like sumatriptan is what we'd call a triptan, which you would take as soon as you have the signs of a headache, take it to try and kind of knock it on the head. And it works a little bit for some of her symptoms. A preventative treatment she would take on a daily basis is another option, but she's tried a couple of those. But she may be moving into the realm of maybe something like Botox, which is used for particularly the muscular tension because it relaxes the muscles.
Mm. So where do you put the Botox?
You put it around your scalp and about 30 different injections that people get.
Into your hair, yeah. If you have hair.
Yeah. And it actually can be very useful. It's in the migraine clinics. That would be a treatment that maybe she would be offered. Then there's other treatments. There's monoclonal antibodies. And there's a new treatment. These are GPANTS. They're just a different, newer version of something like a triptan, but it's more refined and it can be taken on a daily basis. But it's really important that she knows that she could go to a migraine clinic and discuss many other options than she's had there.
Do you need a referral?
You would need a referral.
A GP and ask to be referred to a migraine
clinic. And sometimes some GPs would have a special interest in it as well, but some of the more, the monoclonal antibodies, for instance, we wouldn't be able to prescribe those. And the Botox is a specialist treatment, obviously.
Okay, so migraine clinic and ask your GP about that. Now, this is a 10-year-old daughter who has migraines since the age of 7. Oh, God help her. Her dad suffers from migraines since a young age, so hers is familial migraine. She's under the care of a very good paediatrician and takes an antihistamine daily. She developed an aura last year for the first time, and you explain more what that is. My questions are, one, do children grow out of migraines in general, or do teenage hormone changes affect them? And the second question, should we take her to a neurologist to get migraine specific care, even though the paediatrician is excellent and is very good with her?
For the second question, I would think stick with the paediatrician for now, because in adolescence this may change in its presentation and may need more specialist treatment at that stage, but I think they're in the right service right now. It's really good that she mentioned that, because genetics are one of the big triggers for migraine. It does run in families, so that's probably the reason they recognised it as a migraine at a young age, because you will often have children who will have maybe abdominal migraine even. They don't have the headache, but they have recurring abdominal pain. And it's only when you kind of realise there's a family history, you kind of go, maybe that's a migraine presentation without the headache.
Really?
And that can happen.
Extraordinary.
And you can have people who present with an aura without the headache as well. So there's so many different presentations of this. So they were obviously very clued in, realise it's a migraine and are treating it gently, and that's appropriate at such a young age. You know, she wouldn't be of an age that you would want her to kind of start taking anything more kind of prophylactic just yet. Avoiding triggers is really key, and especially with a young kid, the sleep is probably the biggest issue there. If she's overexcited, if she's kind of going on a school tour, all those things would probably be the triggers. And unfortunately then she gets to miss out on activities possibly as a result. So it's really important too that she has a kind of a migraine and headache diary, that the parents are on top of what they see the triggers to be. Stay in touch with the paediatrician. I would say that's the perfect thing to do for now. But once the adolescent hormones kick in, things may change. They may go though. People do Especially when they present early. Sometimes they do actually settle down.
Wouldn't that be great?
I would hope so. For such a young age, you would hope so.
Another listener says, my daughter's been diagnosed with abdominal migraines, which I'd never heard of before, I have to admit.
Yeah.
She's 15. She's suffered from them for years. Will she grow out of this or will she always have it? She normally gets them 2 weeks after her period or 2 weeks before, I suppose you could say in other words. So you think that's possible that she'll grow out of it, but it's not guaranteed, right?
Now, you see, if it's 2 weeks before her period, there's definitely a hormonal aspect to that.
Yeah.
Okay, so 2 weeks before her period is probably, if she has a regular cycle, but sure, like who does? But if she does, it's probably when she's ovulating. So there's a surge of LH hormones. So there's a change in the estrogen, drops a little bit, progesterone starts rising. So it could be related to hormones, obviously. And actually managing her hormones, this might sound like a kind of a lazy thing to do, but if she were put on a pill that would flatten out her hormones and not have those kind
surges,
she may actually do very well with that.
Oh.
It's not a permanent solution, but it could actually really help her, particularly she's 15, she's going into exam years, all that sort of thing. So that's one aspect to it. She could grow out of it, of course. Now, I think 1 billion people worldwide suffer from migraines, so it's so common. But not everybody is debilitated by them. And I find with people who present early in life, they manage them better than people who present later because they've actually learned to live with it.
Right.
And they've learned their triggers from a very young age.
But you're saying that they might want to look at the contraceptive pill to deal with the hormonal side.
It could, you see. That would work. It's, you know, you're not fixing the source of the migraine, but what you're doing is you're actually kind of blocking it.
Mm-hmm.
And it may be useful for her in other ways as well if she's having a kind of difficult period. So it's frequently how we would actually manage undulations in hormones.
Now, I have a 12-year-old boy here. Well, my grandson, this listener says, is 12 years old. He's having dreadful pain on one side of his forehead every few hours. Now, he's had an MRI and it came back clear.
Well, thank God.
And they
yeah.
want to know, could it be a cluster headache?
Yeah, it's quite possible. He's very young for that as well. But then he's 12. He's probably beginning to experience kind of the male hormone surges as well. That could be a trigger for it. Another thing that happens on one side of the face is a thing called trigeminal neuralgia. And it's a nerve that gets irritated and causes very severe pain in the kind of distribution of that, which is just over your kind of your temple area. And it would come and go. And it wouldn't be like a migraine that would actually kind of, you'd have a kind of or start headache and resolution.
Mm-hmm.
It would come and go a lot more. So that's one possibility. But the other is cluster headaches, which are horrible, but they're treated in a similar way to migraine with triptans and things like
that.
And
if it was that neuralgia issue, could that be treated with the Botox that you mentioned?
It's often treated with a very strong anti-nerve pain, like
medication.
Gabapentin or something like that, or amitriptyline, which we sometimes use for migraine too. But it's unusual at his age to get something like a neuralgia, but it's possible, you know. I would definitely go and investigate it. He's had an MRI, so he's obviously being investigated. But yeah, it sounds really, really miserable.
Sinus headaches. So this listener had a run of sinus headaches over several weeks recently, which they managed with paracetamol. The sinus issue is gone, but I'm still having the nasty headaches, which I think are rebound headaches. Any suggestions?
I'm delighted that question came in, really, because rebound headaches, first of all, from the treatment possibly of sinus, because especially if they've been using kind of things to decongest themselves, but also there's a very common condition called a chronic daily headache, and or a headache of medication overuse. Not intentionally, but if you've been using some sort of painkiller on a regular basis, like more than 2 or 3 times a week, you can get a headache from, it's called a chronic daily headache from taking medication, which sounds really cruel. And it is. But that could be what's happening there. But also then, there may be chronic residual sinus issues or dental. Like dental issues and sinus issues very often overlap and we misinterpret both. So if the headache is persistent, I think a visit to the dentist might be useful.
So you mightn't have a toothache?
No, you
all.
May not. You may actually have kind of your dental symptoms are in your sinus area. And the other can happen as well. People feel that they have a toothache and it's actually a sinus infection. So the two things overlap.
It's
all designed to confuse us, really.
This listener wants to know, can stress bring on a migraine or even just a headache? I'm sure it can.
Oh, absolutely. Sure, yeah. It's one of the most common. And a stress headache is like that tension headache we spoke about with the band around the head and wouldn't be associated with an aura or nausea stuff. But tension and stress headaches can bring on migraine for people who are susceptible, which again is cruel.
Yeah,
so,
it is.
Yeah.
So this listener is constantly plagued with headaches and migraines, a mixture of both. One of the major triggers is my computer screen. Long periods in front of my computer are essential for my job. I've optimised everything, the screen size, the brightness, I build in breaks, etc. My question is, I often know that I'm going to get a headache as it starts off, feeling like the plug has slowly been pulled, or a feeling of mental and physical exhaustion. The pain, however, may only be there the next day. And even if they take paracetamol early on or before I go to bed, it doesn't prevent that pain from coming. I may have the pain then for several days. What could I do at the warning stage to either stop the pain occurring or make it last for
less time?
Yeah.
And that's the thing. That's what, you know, that person's quality of life has been severely affected by that. Paracetamol probably isn't enough, first of all. So they're kind of like taking something when they feel the beginning of it. But paracetamol is a very good, simple painkiller for a lot of things. But this person, if it develops, almost always develops into kind of this headache that lasts days, a triptan would probably be the way to go. It's the kind of the normal prophylaxis that we would use. And you would take it early. And if you have to, you would repeat one later on. So once that person was having the symptoms, take a triptan then. And then the next morning, if the symptoms are still there, take a second one. And that might do it for them. If not, it's a matter of going into something more like a prophylaxis. Sometimes we use anti-seizure medication. Sometimes we use blood pressure medication. So there's many, many options. You have to figure out what's best for the person, if they have any other underlying condition, and if they're female, are they pregnant, or are they potentially pregnant? All those things make us change
so
decisions as well.
You're in no doubt that person needs to be treated as a migraine sufferer.
Yeah. Now, there's an assumption there that that's migraine, but migraine is a diagnosis you make on history and presentation.
Yes.
There's no proof that it's migraine. But what she's saying is she's getting that kind of like prodromal, I can feel it coming on.
It's an aura, is it?
It's not quite an aura. An aura is more the neurological kind of the zigzags or the smell or the numbness.
Yeah.
But she's getting the sense and recognises it as being something that happens before my headache. Maybe not getting an aura, but getting a headache that lasts and lingers and can't do anything about. So by definition, you would actually call it a migraine and should be treated accordingly.
Do you consider air pressure as a trigger for migraines? There seems to be a pattern with mine. When there's a change in pressure, for example, I've had one for the last 2 days when the weather changed.
Yeah, yeah.
And is there a warning system that I could use? Is it a known link?
Oh, absolutely. It is.
Oh,
you know, when people talk about kind of thunder risks or lightning, yeah.
You feel it in the
I always
air.
Do as well. And you know the way your dogs get all kind of...
Yeah.
So it obviously affects us. And it's because there's fluid in our brain and there's fluid in all parts of our bodies and we're affected. We're affected by everything in the natural world as well as... what we're doing ourselves, you know.
Right. So. And is there anything specific that you can do to help with that, or is it just inevitable?
I think it might be inevitable. I'd say keep cool, as in don't, and do look at the other things. Stay as hydrated as you possibly can, have as much rest as you can, take a paracetamol in advance if you can, and get some sleep. That's probably the most important thing, and just wait for it to settle. You know, thankfully in Ireland, we're not exposed to kind of that element of high pressure in the air too often. So it is usually short-lived, but I don't know if there's an awful lot more you can do other than getting a flight.
Question here about food. Apart from the usual suspects, because we know a bit about wine and chocolate and cheese, and they can trigger some people, are there any other foods that can trigger headaches?
Usually, again, it goes back to keeping your diary. Individuals will figure out their own trigger. And we'll always talk about chocolate and, you know, and tyramine-rich foods. So sometimes processed meat, things like that can do it as well. Some citrus with some people. It depends on the person. And really, it's a matter of with anything, be it food intolerances or triggers for migraine or anything, keeping a diary, removing the thing you're suspicious of for 2 weeks and then reintroduce it. And that's usually the best way to figure out if something is actually causing your symptoms.
Investigations, as we say, you've got to, you know...
You have to do your own bit of work as well.
You do,
yeah.
You do. Maura, it's great to have you here.
Thank you.
Couldn't keep up with the questions coming in, so many of them. So it might be something that we'll have to come back to again.
No bother.
Dr. Maura Finn there.